we were sitting across the table from somebody senior in the BBC right now, and if they were to say to you, OK, didn't you just make a bad business decision? How can I be responsible for your bad business decision?
Because they encouraged us to buy it in the first place.
Did they?
They also have done, haven't they?
Well, yeah.
That was the marketplace for years.
This is what I've heard
we
across tables before.
Andy Quest said Richard Cheeseborough did encourage people not to buy gear because he said, we have not formulated the decision. But I work for BBC Scotland, BBC Northern Ireland, BBC White City. I've occasionally worked for Bristol. I work for a whole range of programmes out of BBC. When I say White City, I mean Television Centre, White City, Media Centre, a whole range of different departments there. They all use a different format. There is no synergy whatsoever. So for them to turn around and say, well, you shouldn't have bought that. Well, hang on. At one point, I'm shooting on two standard definition formats and two HD formats for the same current affairs department.
Mm.
It's insane.
Probably don't dictate to us how we run our business, but they present you with a fait accompli. Because it's happening now, you see, the regions and networks are going from standard definition to high definition, and they've come up with a particular camera or two cameras they're recommending. And it will come to the point where the programs that you're working on will suddenly not be standard definition, and you have no option. It could be within 2 or 3 months, I'm told, that all the network programs of BBC or BBC News as well, by the royal wedding, they will all be high definition. So therefore, some of us, I mean, I work right across the board with news, docos and drama.
But we don't know which high definition.
Yeah, you don't. Well, you know which, some of the BBC, which way it's going. But like Jonathan says, there's so many different departments in the BBC and they all have different formats, and that's the nightmare, whereas at one time the BBC would have defined the format and the standard, the de facto standard for the corporation. It's just not there.
They're not technical anymore. 50 megabits is the lowest, megabits per second is the lowest, and then they let news off at 35 megabits per second. So then you've got another load of cameras because they want the cheapest camera.
There's nobody in the BBC with any authority in the engineering. Engineering sat on the board, and Bert got rid of that person.
Yeah.
So ever since then, there's been no.
The journalists have run everything.
I was talking to somebody in sport, a producer in sport last week, and they said we were talking about formats, and they said, well, all our cameramen are saying we want to go SX, and we'll probably do that. So that's another format within the BBC.
That'll be another new one then.
Well, it's an established format already. Okay, but it's just that BBC hasn't really sort of said anything about SX.
I think you mean SNS, don't you?
Yes, by you mean S by S.
Sorry, XD cam.
XD cam. Yeah. Sorry.
What did I say? SX was another format.
I think we're always going to hit ourselves on the head with this one.
Yeah.
I think what we've got to do is we've got to prove to the BBC that it's cheaper
to use us.
And if you listen to my bit about Click and Keith, he's working with a young lady up north who's a producer. And
VJ she is.
VJ. Yeah. And she's getting
the VJs, as I understand it, are working throughout the BBC. They're spending a day researching an item, the second day they go out and film, and the third day they edit, and that item makes 1 to 1.5 minutes. 3 days of her working week to do a minute and a half. I mean, if we go out, it's a minute and a half to 3 minutes if I was working on the regional side, it'd be 15 minutes. I used to do 30. The BBC have kind of changed that over the years. And if you're doing docos, then you're doing 5 or 6 minutes a day.
So basically...
And she's getting $40,000 a year, Martin.
So she's getting $40,000 a year and only putting 1.5 minutes on the screen a week. We're going out and putting 15 minutes a day on the screen. So
I'm
putting more than that on the Click because they work me like a dog. Anyway, so if you get that minutes that she's spending doing that versus what it takes, okay, we we don't do the researching. 15 minutes from a proper camera sure. guy versus 1.5 from a
from a self shooter.
So yeah, you've got to see that is not the cheapest way to go.
Where are the accountants in all this, and you know, dealing with real money?
They don't seem to do they?
I think we do need to change this culture. That it does get very tiring after many years of hearing the BBC. And I think, as you mentioned, Martin, it is a culture, because I think the senior management are telling the middle management, just whinge about every cost above your line, just whinge about everything. Yes. And just get it stopped. We've been told as well on the feature side in the regions that the mileage rate is 40p, and that's all allowed to pay because of inland revenue. It's completely and utterly untrue. As individual people, self-employed, you can charge whatever rate you like. Sure. But now, nobody in the regions can charge a penny more running costs of your vehicle, 40p.
Somebody who, again, this is the trouble we're telling now, there's too many people who don't know what they're doing. And some young girl or young lad reads a bit in Her Majesty's tax document, and it says in there, if you don't want to pay extra tax when your employees, your PAYE employees, are travelling for you, they're only allowed up to 40p. After that, you've got to pay extra tax. Some idiot reads this in the finance department and says to Keith, "Oh, you can only charge 40p. We've got it in black and white from the government." Mm. They haven't even read it. It's for PA.
We can't move on, so we're losing money all the time.
We're getting all these things.
Because now, is the editor of that programme getting bonuses per year for holding everything down? Our rates haven't gone up for several years, when despite that the BBC have had licence fee increases. I don't think I've had an increase now for 3 or 4 years on many of my costs, Martin. It's just getting so serious, that's why we're all here. That the BBC have had their increases over the years, but they're not passing it on to the private sector, and I think that is very unfair and unreasonable.
What's happening is the butter is getting spread thinner and thinner. They're trying to cover so many different things over such a wide spectrum of things. It's not that there's less money, it's the fact that it has to go further.
What are they doing with it? We do 4 people's jobs. I mean, they're going about all our young people, who I feel terribly sorry for, not finding work. We used to have the best system in the world out on in the field making programmes. And it involved a cameraman, an assistant cameraman, who would learn the ropes and be trained properly for several years before they were let loose and became cameraman. All the assistants that work with me are all now doing top quality work at a network level, Martin. You know, that is the system. They learn on the job, and it's in real life. We had sound recorders, and sometimes we'd have an electrician. So we had, you know, at least a team of 4 that was highly skilled and highly fast, cost effective. All that's gone, and yet they still keep saying that everybody's too expensive. They've got us down to ourselves on our own, trying to cart all this stuff everywhere.
We're wasting so much money.
When we could probably get a programme done in 1 week with 3, than 2 or 3 weeks with one of us. You know, nobody's stopped to read. You know, a colleague of mine said many years ago, at least 15 years ago, in my opinion, the BBC are getting at us because they're jealous, actually. I said, "Oh, don't be silly." He said, "No," he said, "I think they're jealous. They see us as being successful. We know what we're doing, and they don't like it. They see our gross income, which of course involves everything, expenses." And I think actually the journalists were jealous, the people running it. They saw us as being very expensive, whereas somebody on the staff getting 46,000 a year, in actual fact, with the BBC pensions, even though they've been affected, they're on about £350 a day for somebody on the staff, and that's without holidays and without you know, if they have a baby or something and they're off 6 months or a year. So I think it's time somebody re-looked at all the figures for what actually people cost, and I think they'd be quite shocked to find that even if they're paying £800 or £900 for us on HD, because we're not guaranteed one day's work, they don't have to pick the phone up. We're actually cheap because we don't get any redundancy or any holiday pay or anything.
There is a problem though in that productions. I mean, I have in the past worked for BBC Wales a reasonable amount, and BBC X-Ray is a regional programme but networked in Wales. It's a mildly investigative, topical magazine-style programme. As is anybody who works in features in BBC Wales, there's DV kits and I guess Z1 kits and possibly more up-to-date EX3 kits coming out of the cupboards all over there. And they are expected to self-shoot. And certainly a colleague of mine was recently working on that show, and they were limited to one professional crew camera day per item. That's one day. Any other material they needed. So if they couldn't schedule all of their interviews into that one day, then that's tough. They had to go and film it themselves. But if the actual whole gearing up of the budget for that show is absolutely reliant totally on self-shooting, and the professional cameraman, camerawoman, PSC operator coming in is seen as a luxury, and it's absolutely restricted. Certainly very, very rare exceptions. I shot a title sequence for them, but I was brought in to do a B camera and a pole cam, and that was very much out of the norm. But the researcher on that show was running around like a blue eyed fly, shooting everything that moved. Lovely person, but I'm not too sure. I wouldn't like to edit their footage because they just seem to literally, you know,
It's on fine spray, isn't
but,
it?
But I mean, I never really answered. Andrew asked the question about undermining of actual labour rates because of what Films 59 do, and I would just say, yes, I do believe that's the case. It's because they've offered the rate at 250 for kit, which is such an amazing amount of kit. You know, the 40-1 lens probably costs that to you or I, unless you're exceptionally lucky. So trying to then maintain a kind of level of, say, 425 is exceptionally difficult.
What is their labour rate? If you
know I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is that when I've worked on the one show before, I've struggled to... But I wasn't shooting high def. But I was, with the exception of Polcam, which is different, I was struggling to get 350.
Just going to say, because obviously some of us have got quite a ways to go, I was thinking, just to sort of wind this up, what do we do next? Do we write a report at this meeting? How do we keep in contact? What's our next sort of immediate point of contact to move forward?
I'd suggest that I've just been making a note of action points just right now. I'd suggest, if this is okay, that the first thing that happens is that I talk to Jerry, to my boss and colleagues at Bechtu.
About us.
About you, your existence and aspirations, and the practicalities of approaching the BBC. And I come back to you from that conversation to say, well, this is what we've talked about, and this is how we see it. And probably the next step will depend slightly on that. I mean, for the sake of argument, because I don't want to, send people away with, that in 3 weeks' time you say, well, bloody Martin Spence obviously just lied to us.
I think we all appreciate this.
You're not an elected politician.
This is going to take time.
We do understand that a lot of our whinges won't get anywhere. So you've got to narrow down we've said today.
We've got to focus on
something. Better.
But I mean, if I were to come back and say the answer is let's go for it, but we will need to hold off for 6 months for the sake of argument. Then I think the conversation would be okay, but that doesn't mean nothing happens for 6 months. Yeah. What can we do over the next 6 months in order to build things up and carry on developing this so that we hit the ground running?
You go away, talk to Jerry Morrissey, explain our aspirations, explain the ramifications, because obviously you and I have some discussion about that. We'll discuss this amongst ourselves, I'm sure. There's 80 odd people all waiting on baited email to find out how we got on today, and we nominate three people because I know going forward I have a huge amount of international work coming.
Yeah, yeah, sure. So I just need some points of contact.
Some points of contact. So yeah. I think
so you will have to fly to Bermuda, Martin. With
oh dear. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're Martin.Spence@Bektu.com.
mspence@Bektu.
Oh, mspence.
mspence@Bektu.org.uk. So do you want to email me with some contacts?
Yeah. Why so mspence, no dots, no spaces.
That's right.
At Bektu.org.
Yeah.
I think what we're
Mozart's. .uk. .uk on the
end. I thought you said .org.
.org.uk.
Oh, sorry, .org.uk.
Okay.
Marcel, can I ask the question when?
Yeah.
Never really answer something. So far as Bektu is concerned, on a general level, when it comes to self-shooting with BBC, how much is it recognised that the budgets, the money is being fiddled to show that self-shooting is more profitable for the BBC to do?
How much is it recognised? I mean, I can't believe anyone...
Have there been previous negotiations between Bektu and the BBC over self-shooting in that it's actually saving money?
In the staff area, yes.
Yeah.
Some years ago. And I mean, that's, you know, I just come up in meetings that I've been at with Mike before now.
Yeah.
In the freelance area, no. In the staff area, the deal, the term they used for this function, the broad, all-encompassing term, was video journalist.
Yeah. Mm.
And the deal that was agreed between ourselves and the NUJ and the BBC was that any BBC staff, whether coming from, in broad terms, the technical side or the journalistic side, mm-hmm. who wished to multi-skill, who wished to learn the skills of the other side, mm-hmm. could do so.
Right.
In practice, the take-up was overwhelmingly from the journalist side, which I don't think would surprise anybody.
I just feel one of the reasons we're here today is we're losing so much work to self-shooting, and the BBC is claiming that they're doing it to save money.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe that is the case at all. And what evidence does Bektu have?
I'm not aware that we have any hard evidence, because that's the problem. And I mean, frankly, I wonder. I mean, if a smoking gun, you know, if a memo dropped into my email box from I don't know where, but there was clearly accurate information about the budgeting of a programme that showed that this was complete nonsense and it would cost much more because the whole thing had to be put together in the edit suite because it was unwatchable.
I mean, do you have editors? Do you have editors, members who are members of Bektu?
Can they
not shed any light on this at all?
Well, I'm not sure that they'd have access to the budgets.
But they must be able to say.
The
number of times they were called in to rescue a program.
The last time.
Who's the editor that's quite high up? Peter Cox. Now, Peter Cox will tell you how much time he wastes.
The last time I worked on the money program, for instance, the director, I was coming in on the last day, and the director had shot 80 hours of material.
Yeah.
And that was for a half hour.
That's if
that was taken to an independent production house, 80 hours of feeding all that material.
It just seems to me, before you started editing, blanket mentality or policy of self-shooters.
Yeah.
And they are hiding the true costs of all this.
It
would seem to me, from our point of view, and from Beck, if we're going to argue our corner, then we need to expose the failings in their overall policy.
Well, can we not get someone like KPMG, so get a forensic accountant involved, and sort of basically go?
But this is a public organisation.
Exactly.
We should have access to this information. Yeah.
Well, do what? Do it at FOI. Can Bektu do an FOI?
You raised FOI, and I'm trying to think whether. Look, I can look into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It would have to be worded so specifically because that's the only reason they answer FOI is for the actual wording.
Clearly, you should be able to do an FOI,
the BBC has refused to divulge.
If we're having problems now with programmes like the BBC broadcasters, where will we be?
That seems to be the strongest angle we can argue.
Yeah, it's wasting of money and defrauding or devaluing the value of the licence fee with poor quality programming. So you could probably do a sort of a linear sort of circle to make all those things link up.
Let me be honest as well. In terms of, I'll happily bash the BBC with anyone else who wishes to, but the BBC has other people who are very critical of it, who are not coming from our side, who are in government.
Like the Daily Mail and people like that.
Yes.
Yeah, we realise this.
We do have to be careful of not, frankly, giving, you know...
Killing them off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do it. Have a very different agenda from us.
Yes.
Do it from
quality. We want to go further down the road that the BBC is going down. We're trying to drag them back. We want to push them over the edge.
To protect the brand name. The BBC brand name is a world-class
organisation. It comes from management consultants.
Yeah.
This is where it comes from, and this needs to be exposed, because they're carrying on wasting money and getting rubbish.
I think a lot of the problem is that a certain group of people within the BBC want to protect their job, and they're the ones that do all the say-so, and they, whether they're NUJ or non-NUJ, they're journalists. And journalists are doing what they can to protect their job. They're telling other people that don't really know accountants, because there's no technical people anymore to say, journalists are talking a load of rubbish, so they're not there any longer to support you and me. All there is now is the frontline journalist somewhere in there saying to the money man, look, we can do it all in one, we can do it as good as them. There's no need. And they're not telling them how many hours it's taking to put right in the edit suite, because my editors on Click will tell you how many hours they waste on the six journalists who are taking pictures compared to how much it takes them to put my part of the programme together.
Really?
They're not telling you this because they're protecting the job. So, you know, I don't know where you go to get around the journalists. Because
to get facts.
There's no longer a technical team that can say, well, actually, the cameramen are talking correct here.
They've been marginalised because they basically wanted to oversee the drive towards HD. May I make a suggestion? We've exhausted this now.
Can I just ask one question?
Martin,
what was the latest tally? What was the latest tally on the pledge for BEC2?
52.
Out of 108 members?
110, I think.
No, 110 is the nominal amount. We lost one, and the true total for Cameron Pop, I think, is 108 members, I think. It's either 108 or 109.
Yeah, we got somebody wrote a little bit in the middle. He says, oh, by the way, my pledge is yes, he made it 52.
Yeah,
that was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Can I just make one little point about, this is more sort of within the union work. Speaking as, I feel like the man at the bottom, as it were, it seems to have just lost all my work. This isn't just about rich cameramen wanting to stay rich. It's about jobs disappearing.
Sure.
Because basically, it seems to me like, you know, if Keith's working one day a week now instead of five, that means I'm working like none, because he can do the two jobs that he's available for, whereas before he'd only been available to one. So there'd be more work around.
I think there is.
And I'm feeling that I've got squeezed out. The ball that Jonathan that's contracted, some bits have fallen out the edge.
I'm sorry you feel that way, John. I know exactly what you're trying to say. That there is a perception here that sort of some of us are doing better than others, and you clearly feel that you have got you haven't been getting as much work. And I say the whole point of doing this is for everyone. It's, as you say, it's not because I'm personally concerned about the younger people coming in, because thanks to this man, I had a fantastic sort of apprenticeship, and I have learned. And from having started at such an early age, I've been trying to put something else back, and I want to keep people doing that. And I appreciate not everyone is willing to go and do what I do in terms of getting shot at and going living in the Sahara and what have you. Some other people don't want to do that kind of work, and the bread and butter work that a lot of people relied on has dried up. So this is not just about a few people, because quite frankly, you know, there are BEC2 members, the kind of figures that we're talking about here, they would quite happily earn that in a week. Theatre hands, people like that. So I do appreciate that we are a gilded lily group here.
Well, perception is
a perception. So we can't go around sort of besmirching, saying, oh, it's all these money people. Because I mean, there are people who aren't earning a lot of money in our industry, and we are, despite the hardships and the problems that we face. There are our own particular ones. There are people who are a lot worse off than us. And I understand the point that you're making, John.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate it. And that's why this is for everyone.
To pick up on John Cromwell, I think...
Absolutely.
I think there is a...
I don't want the rest of the union to think, bloody rich cannon men, what are they whinging about? I'm trying to make the point that this is...
Those days were 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, but the
it's production's perception that the camera department as a whole, cameras are expensive, they're at the shop end, let's cut there first.
Yeah.
And the resultant costs of doing that, as has been discussed, are hidden. I certainly think that, you know, John's not alone. I mean, my work has dropped off. That's one of the reasons I'm here. That's one of the reasons I have been so proactive to suggest we be here, because of self-shooters. I mean, putting it bluntly, I am, because I have to, I am actively trying to seek self-shooting work. It's just the BBC, not because I particularly want it, but the BBC looks at me and they go, you do not have any journalistic experience, you do not have any production experience. The fact that I've done self-shooting work for the Americans...
How often have you been directing, Andy? What do you think you're doing?
I mean, on documentary, you're doing it on newspaper time. Well, but it's just an attitude thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly,
journalists making judgment again on you.
Certainly, we are an easy target, and because we have been, marginalised due to the fragmentation of the industry and became freelance.
And we also marginalised ourselves originally in the past.
Yeah. So a lot. Yes, agreed. It's the situation we are now in is right, really down to apathy from within, unfortunately. Yeah. And let's hope this can change.
Thank you for listening.
That's a good point for us to finish.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to us, Martin.
I will email you. We'll have a discussion with yourselves about who should be points of contact.